You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Bruce Blunt, Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah,
Edge
but it's
of Tomorrow.
Live, Die,
so
Repeat.
Cool. No, Live, Die, Repeat. No, is that the name? Is that the name or is that the slogan? Is that the tagline?
There was this tagline and then they realized, well, this should actually be the name. So I think they're still developing a sequel to it where they're just going to go in and not even call it Edge of Tomorrow 2 or anything. It's just going to be called Live, Die, Repeat.
You know what my favorite thing is? When you go to the theater and you stand, if we still go do that after this pandemic's over, and you stand in line to get your tickets and they've got like all the movie names, it'll say Edge of Tomorrow 2. The movie theaters care not about like the cute Hollywood title. Actually, it's called Die Harder. No, it's just called Die Hard 2. They don't care. They just put the name of the movie and then the number, and that's how we do it.
And that red like scoreboard.
Yes,
font?
The red
love scoreboard. The scoreboard font.
Uh huh.
That was a good movie.
Excellent movie.
Yeah.
It was basically what's it called? Groundhog Day, but like cooler.
But action Groundhog.
Action
Day.
Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise, hell of an actor.
You're trying to get me started.
I'm just gonna say it right now because we ridicule him for the Scientology and jumping on Oprah's couch. But if you look at his catalog of movies, this dude doesn't miss.
He misses occasionally. Like Oblivion for me didn't.
I put his shot percentage up against a lot of these other so-called Hollywood
he's
greats.
Always
night
cocky Tom Cruise.
Oh, shut up.
He's
shut
always
up. That's confidence. That's confidence. And you know why? Because no one on this planet has the confidence of Tom Cruise, despite you and the lamestream media trying to take it away by painting him as this weirdo. No. I'm not here for any criticism of Tom Cruise. That is the biggest movie star of my lifetime.
By the way, those Tom Cruise like fake videos are scary as hell.
The dude, right? You're talking about the guy who...
Oh, the fake Tom Cruise.
Oh, he's amazing.
He's on Cameo.
Yeah, he is. Worth every penny, by the way. No, I mean, look at this. Look at some of these movies that he's done just recently.
He's always cocky, Amin. Let's do it. Let's go through his entire catalog. Go to the very beginning.
Ethan Hunt is kind of underplayed. Ethan Hunt isn't cocky.
No, oh, yeah.
He's just buoyed by the fact that he saved your life more than once.
Okay, you guys are going to have to help me with some of these older ones. Endless Love. Don't remember that one.
No.
Taps. I'm going to assume cocky
Taps.
Romantic.
Tapsy wasn't cocky. Tapsy was fat.
Cocky soldier.
How's that for range? He was fat.
Cocky
fat.
Soldier.
The Outsiders.
There were far more cockier characters in The Outsiders.
Cocky war boy? I don't remember.
No, Outsiders. The Outsiders, no. It was just about a bunch of like, sharks and jets.
Yeah. Street toughs. Yeah. Losing it.
Ne'er-do-wells.
Yeah, ne'er-do-wells. Rabble-rousers with cigarettes in their t-shirt sleeves and jackets.
Losing it.
Never lost it.
Okay. Starring Tom Cruise and Shelley Long, by the way. The plot concerns four teenagers trying to lose their virginity.
You should do it on
and
your
podcast.
And they
were 31 years old when they played the teenagers.
Risky business. He wasn't cocking
he
that
wasn't.
He was.
No, he wasn't.
He's in his underwear and a dress shirt sliding across a floor with sunglasses.
You think that's cocky and cool? No, I was trying
he
to
He became
say,
a cocky guy with an older love interest. Made him, turned him into a cocky
that's
guy.
That's character development. He didn't approach
He's
it as cocky.
A cocky
he
guy.
Actually showed you his range and that it's believable.
This is also where it started, right there. And his underwear in that living room is right where cocky started. Go ahead.
He was a nerd, first of all. And he got no play. He had to hire a prostitute.
Okay.
The only reason he could afford to hire a prostitute because he was a nerd.
All right, but exactly. Now start there. Start right there. It all went to his head. That's where he became cocky.
I think the next movie he did was actually derivative of cocky.
All the Right Moves.
Okay.
Cocky football player.
I'm looking at the poster. Fine. Yes, he's absolutely cocky.
Cocky Run.
You're watching Cocky Run. It's the rest of his cocky career.
By the way, his character's name was Stefan Jordovich. Different for the 80s. 1985's Legend. Don't remember this one, but it was directed by Ridley Scott.
Tim Curry played the devil in that.
Okay. Was he cocky in that?
I don't remember that.
I think he was in that movie with, was it with Mimi Rogers? Was Mimi Rogers in that? And that's where his teeth are not fixed yet in this film. And he looks very
young. I bet you he gets cockier when the teeth get fixed.
Let me tell you something. He gets cocky in 86. Guys.
Let's go.
Top Gun.
Yes, cocky fighter pilot. Hell yeah. Here we go.
The Color of Money.
Cocky billiards player.
Yeah, hustler.
Cocktail.
Cocky bartender. I mean,
cock is in the name.
That's right. Double cock.
Yeah. They make TGI Fridays the most happening bar in New York City, which will make anybody cocky. And then it pivots midway and it's a movie about
Here
suicide.
Here comes the period.
Rain Man.
Cocky brother.
No.
Yes.
Rain Man
cocky brother.
He was cocky.
An autistic guy.
He was cocky.
He was.
No.
He was cocky.
No, what you're doing is he was cocky by comparison.
No, he was cocky, period.
He was
That's
cocky by
true.
Direct comparison.
No. That is not what I'm doing. Keep going.
Okay.
I mean,
okay. Here's a great one that he was robbed of an Oscar nomination for. Born on the 4th of July.
Mm. Was he a cocky paraplegic?
No.
No, he wasn't.
No, he was embittered. Done
he wasn't
wrong.
Cocky.
Done wrong by his country.
Came back. He maybe cocky in the beginning. Came back, realized he wasn't appreciated.
That might have been the hole in my game. Keep going.
All right, Days of Thunder.
Cocky race car driver.
That's a fair play.
Far and away.
That's he's not cocky.
Yeah.
And once again, love blossoms on the set.
Yes. A Few Good Men.
Yes, of course. Cocky attorney.
The Firm.
Also, cocky softball player. Yeah. Cocky attorney again.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes back to the cocky attorney.
Back to back cocky attorney.
There is range within cocky.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a different kind of attorney.
Oh, man. Interview with the Vampire.
Cocky Vampire.
I mean,
no.
Come on. Dude, Lestat.
That's not his fault.
Lestat. Lestat was far cockier in Queen of the Damned.
Yes,
when
he
experimented with new metal, oddly enough.
Mission Impossible.
Yeah, of course.
No, he's cocky not cocky.
Spy.
He's not.
What do you mean?
He's disavowed. How cocky can he be disavowed?
Cocky disavowed spy.
Yeah, you can't be disavowed and cocky. You got to be low-key about that shit, Dan. You can't be peacocking and you've been
such
disavowed.
A word. Disavowed is such a good game. Put it on the poll. Put it on the poll, Guillermo. Have you ever been disavowed?
It's happened to him in every film except for MI2.
Jerry Maguire.
Yes, of course. Jerry Maguire, cocky agent.
No.
But you love him for the man he is and the man he wants to be.
Cocky agent.
He wasn't cocky.
He was cocky. Don't you remember? He was cocky at the beginning.
He was humbled.
He was swaggering.
He was
and then
humbled.
No, but it humbled and then back to cocky at
the
end.
No.
Cocky. That's
he wasn't cocky at the end because
he wasn't cocky compared to Rod Tidwell.
Eyes Wide Shut. He wasn't cocky
in
that one.
Cocky sexual deviant.
No, he wasn't.
He wasn't a sexual deviant. Again, with these labels. What are we in the 1930s?
You guys think that there's real, like, secret agents that have been disavowed, like, roaming the earth, taking justice into their own hands that we're just completely unaware of?
Elvis.
Absolutely.
Elvis Presley.
What?
Yeah, Elvis Presley made, was it Nixon that gave him a badge and said, oh, yeah, you're a U.S. Marshal or whatever, and it was like ceremonial.
No, but that's like Steven Seagal when he was like whatever he was.
But Elvis would just flash it and thought legitimately he was a secret agent for the United States and no one would tell him any different. He also died with, I think, 40 pounds of shit in his intestines.
Also,
I'm talking about like people running around in Europe being like former secret agents for the U.S. that are being hunted down that we don't even know about.
Well, this happens occasionally. First off, if you know about them, that makes them non-secret agents. So the kind of it's counterintuitive. But wasn't there a representative recently that there was like a congressional hearing and they're like, well, you slept with a Chinese secret agent.
That was
like, whoa.
Remember, they blew her cover.
Yeah.
They blew her cover in Congress. Yeah, no, that was a thing. It happens. It's real.
There's actually an incredible Malcolm Gladwell podcast about a literal terrorist that became a CIA informant.
Jesus, who cares?
And he was legitimately helping the U.S. government, and they were cleaning through the CIA. The Clinton administration was like, this has gone too far. We're actually paying terrorists. And then at the end of that, it was revealed by the New York Times that this guy was a former terrorist and that he was helping the U.S. government, and they basically had to leave him to fend for himself, and he was very promptly found dead.
Yeah, the leader of the Proud Boys is an informant, and they're like, yeah, we'll just keep it going. It's kind of weird.
It is weird. Magnolia.
Okay.
Cocky sexual deviant.
Yeah. That's wow. Fine.
Nothing kills the buzz on secret agent talk faster than Malcolm Gladwell actually says.
Right.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Does anyone, does anything kill the buzz on secret agent talk more than Malcolm Gladwell said? He was also, to be fair to Tom Cruise, not just a sexual deviant. He was also a life coach with terribly terribly antiquated and spiteful feelings toward women, but a cocky one.
Didn't he get nominated for that performance too? I think Best Supporting Actor.
In Magnolia, I believe so.
Deservedly so.
Also, Vanilla Sky.
Great performance from him.
Yeah.
I think that was cocky face, deformed face. No, it wasn't cocky, deformed face?
He's
was
getting to the age where he can't be as cocky anymore.
What are you kidding me? No, still on the side of planes at 57 years old.
Cockier than ever. What are you talking about, Mike? He's doing, as Dan just pointed out, he is doing this at an advanced age, things no one else is doing. Why should he not be cocky?
Boys, we're coming into a golden era right here in 2002. We've got Minority Report.
Love that movie.
Cocky spy.
Not a spy. A cop who was disavowed.
Yeah. Disavowed cop. There's a theme there with being disavowed. Colin Farrell, great in that movie. One of Spielberg's finest, low key.
Love it. Austin Powers in Goldmember. He plays himself as Austin Powers.
Yes. Yeah. Cocky Austin Powers impersonator.
Good luck with the next one, I mean.
One of the best things I've ever seen, by the way, was that MTV Movie Awards vignette with Ben Stiller. Is that on his IMDb where Ben Stiller is Tom Cruise's stunt double? Just still holds up.
I'm only looking at his film credits right here. The next one, Stugatz. I can't even say. The Last Samurai.
Yeah, cocky samurai.
Appropriation.
That's right.
Good luck.
Although if you watch the film, I'm not going to get into this. If you
don't do this. Don't do this. It's not worth it.
I care about you.
Ken Watanabe, by the way, delivers a performance for the ages.
Collateral.
Yeah.
Freaking incredible film.
A great movie.
Incredible.
Even Soderbergh.
Cocky assassin.
That's top five movie in his library. That's a top five Tom Cruise
War of
film.
The Worlds.
That was a miss,
but he wasn't cocky in it.
No, he was a parent.
He was a parent.
He
was a
dad. Wasn't a cocky dad.
The character development was he's a dad and he wears a Red Sox cap. Go, run.
MI3.
Duh.
Lions for Lambs. He plays Senator Jasper Irving.
MI3 is when the franchise pivoted because it could be accused of being campy, and then that was a Philip Seymour Hoffman one, and that's when we realized, holy shit, this franchise can actually be what he envisioned.
Cocky Senator.
All right. Lions for Lambs. We did the Tropic Thunder.
Just saw this last week.
Yeah, it's still great. Cocky executive, cocky CEO.
But I mean, did you want him to play like a nice studio head? They don't exist. Awesome. He was playing the role.
You didn't ask me whether I loved the role. That was part of his comeback. People thought he was dead right before that, and he came back in disguise because he was jumping up and down on Oprah's couch. And then, like, he came back. People didn't even know that character was Tom Cruise. Many people left the theater after that character in fat suit makeup yelled at them for 12 minutes in the theater, not knowing it was Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Who didn't know that was Tom Cruise?
A lot of people.
So I think Dan didn't know. I think that's what it comes down to, right? Yeah. Dan didn't know.
No one knew.
I was made a little uncomfortable watching it.
Totally
back.
Unfair.
The Simple Jack stuff lands on the wrong side.
It's ass. It is. At the time.
Oh,
they
it couldn't
knew
be made today.
But they knew. I mean, there's some things. It's not like some things.
Hollywood's the punchline, but you gotta take with the Simple Jack stuff. You gotta take quite the logic leap.
I don't think so. I think they're making a point that's how Hollywood thinks about it.
Yeah.
Like that whole thing is like the blackface. They're not doing blackface. They're doing what Hollywood thinks about blackface.
Low key also resurrected the career of Matthew McConaughey.
Yes, absolutely.
Who only got that role because Yeah, because Owen Wilson couldn't make it, I think.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Owen Wilson in that role.
It's like cinephobe trivia here.
Yeah, except that one doesn't qualify. Valkyrie.
Cocky assassin.
That was a terrible
cocky
movie.
Cocky Nazi.
Valkyrie was really good. What are you talking about?
No, it was terrible.
You're a fake and a fraud. Get out of here.
No, it's a bad movie.
Valkyrie was great. What are y'all talking about?
Number one, Bryan Singer, totally canceled forever. Bryan Singer's ever done is good. That includes Usual Suspects. I'm sorry, that's just the way the shit goes. Also, when you start in German accents and you do the fade into American accents, just not for me.
Why? I mean, they explained it pretty perfectly.
Bryan Singer.
Okay.
Checkmate.
I'll give you that one.
You yelled fraud both times. You've been kind of meek today. I mean, Bob Ryan came after you and you backed off a little bit. And now all of a sudden you called two people a fraud today. We made you do it to people who would object to that. And they've bitten your face off and you backed off.
Dan, let me tell you something. When someone plays the Bryan Singer card, you can't fight that one.
Put it on the poll.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. When someone plays the Bryan Singer card, can you fight that one?
We were just getting the night and day.
Oh, Sagat.
Billy, I know you love this one. The
cast is a really good movie. It's a great night movie. And day is a really good movie. Yeah.
It made me want for them to be together in real life.
Yeah.
Night and
criminally
day.
Underrated.
Oh, yeah. Super good.
He played Roy Miller and Matthew Knight.
I mean, how charming can one get in a film?
Yeah. Then 2011, this is where it really took off. Ghost Protocol.
When they have to initiate Ghost Protocol after he gets disavowed by his own government.
Amazing.
Oh, man. Didn't see that coming again.
2012 gives us a forgettable year for Tom Cruise. Rock of Ages.
Yeah. Cocky rock star. Cocky Broadway actor.
Musical chops, though. He expands his range, hearing your calls to expand it, and, you know, a bit of a miss.
And then Jack Reacher, which for the longest time I couldn't tell the difference between that and John Wick.
Yeah, it was Ethan Hunt in civilian clothes.
All right. They're the same. I mean,
put it on the poll, Guillermo. Is John Wick what Jack Reacher wanted to be?
2013, Oblivion. I'm with you, Mike. That one was a miss.
Misfire.
It was just too much. But then 2014, not live, repeat, die, whatever the hell you called it. Live Edge of Tomorrow.
Banger.
And he wasn't cocky.
No.
He was disavowed.
He was cocky.
He was
in that.
Kind of disavowed.
He was disavowed.
He wasn't cocky in this.
He wasn't cocky in this.
Because look what was happening. Constantly.
He was going to die at any moment. But
he's a soldier fighting aliens. I mean, he was cocky.
He got cocky once he got to the seventh or eighth time of doing the same exact thing. He got cockiness in him. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, Emily Blunt and him, quite a good pairing too. Yeah. Charm across the board.
Yep. 2015, Rogue Nation.
Oh, that's when they have to initiate Ghost Protocol because they've been disavowed and have to operate as a rogue nation because they've been disavowed again.
Being on the run after being disavowed by the government seems like a horrible way to live.
Yes.
Very stressful. Yes.
Not a lifestyle I would want.
Oh, Billy.
Always looking over your shoulder.
That's the movie I
want to watch. Who would want that? Wait, Chris, you want to see the movie of
I want to see Billy.
Of me.
Being chased.
Not a lot of sleep, I would think.
Fugitive Billy. You think Fugitive Billy is a movie anyone wants to see? Soaked in neuroses.
It wouldn't last long, let's be real. I'd just turn myself in.
Exactly.
It would last 5 seconds. It's going to be a whole thing. I have to pack. I don't want to have to pack. How many bags should we take? You know what? I'm just going to turn myself in.
Where's the nearest police station?
Here's my freedom.
You will make it to Yeehaw Junction.
I don't want to live with all this fear behind me. I go to a store.
It's not real freedom, honestly.
All right. So this next one is kind of tough because we just said that John Wick is what Jack Reacher wanted to be. It's kind of a subpar movie. And they made a sequel called Jack Reacher, Never Go Back.
Yeah. You know he's more manly in this one because he's wearing flannel.
Oh, yes.
All right. But he goes back, right?
Yeah, never. Just when you think he's out.
And finally, we're going to wrap these up with the last few. We've got The Mummy, which is the Mummy reboot. Yeah. That was a miss and a half.
It's the first time, though, in cinematic history that Tom Cruise allowed for a co-star to be running alongside him.
Oh, there he goes. That's not cocky at all. American Made, which was a really good movie that nobody watched.
Yes, but he was cocky in that one.
Yes, he was cocky. He was a cocky drug dealer. And then Mission Impossible Fallout.
Oh, here we go.
The greatest film in his IMDb is Fallout.
You think it's the greatest action film of all time?
Greatest action film of all time. Greatest fight scene that happens in a bathroom of all time. I defy you to find a better one.
There's those wrestlers that fought those football players.
There's also Cable Guy when Jim Carrey beats the shit out of Owen Wilson and makes him suck the hand dryer. And he's like, suck the air, suck it.
Suck the what?
Suck the air. The air. Suck it in.
That's such a
deep cut. It is so creepy. It is such a creepy scene for Mike to remember.
Shoot him up. He looks like a Unabomber sort.
Jim Carrey in that. Jim, tell me there have been a lot of scarier characters than Jim Carrey's character in that, in terms of just get into your life and ruin it with the creepiness.
You know, I feel so bad Jamel Hill's have to
hop
aboard this moving train.
But Jamel objected to your contention that that's the greatest action film of all time. I saw it on her face. She was not.
Yeah.
I think she thought you had a lot of bad opinions.
Well, the one that was perplexing me was the bathroom one. Yeah. I was trying to think of, oh, you know what? I just thought of one. Just that quickly. True Lies. The bathroom scene.
That's a good one.
Oh, that is
yeah,
a good one.
True Lies. There you go.
Look, I'm glad we're getting nominees for best bathroom fight here, Jamel, but none of these are better than the one that happened in Fallout. None of them.
No. Look, and let me just say first, I realize that True Lies is xenophobic and racist as hell. So let me just get this out of the way first. However, this became heavy all of a sudden. It's quite delightful.
Okay, well, let's explore this space here, Jamel, because I'd like people to see this side of you. The part that says after the comma, but it's quite delightful. Yes, you sucked the air out of the room. Everybody got scared. Wait a minute, are we allowed to enjoy that movie in retrospect, or are we not? Jamel, how many movies are you willing to do that with? Movies where you look at them and you're like, yes, obviously problematic, all sorts of things that don't hold up today or 10 years ago or 5 years ago, but I also found this part of it kind of delightful, and I'm not going to apologize for it. Do you have a long list of such movies where we're like, we have to do all the math differently on some of these things in retrospect? We were just talking about Tropic Thunder and some of the things in Tropic Thunder, which I thought was a great comedy. And one of the great things that I've noticed, Jamel, over the last year, when new things are introduced to people who are younger and woker than us, is they come at you with, well, Robert Downey Jr. did blackface in Tropic Thunder. And I'm like, but you have to understand, he did it really cleverly. It was really well done. It was sort of making fun of white people for making fun of black people. And it was, and it holds up. And they backed off. I was surprised all the woke children ran into the bushes on that one.
Yeah. I mean, there is a space for the fact that sometimes things that we watched or we grew up on, that when we explain them to other people, they just sound really damn stupid. I mean, one of my big ones, at the time when I watched it, didn't realize how problematic it was, but one that does not hold up well is 16 Candles. And this was my favorite movie as a teenager and growing up and coming of age and even well into adulthood. I love Molly Ringwald, but you know, there's a lot of very problematic things in it. The characterization, obviously, of Asian people by Long Duk Dong. It gets a little, shall we say, rapey in this movie. And so I look at it through a different lens now, just in terms of like a girl super intoxicated. Andie Michael Hall is like, I guess they have sex anyway. I mean, it's a whole thing. So, but yet I find myself still inexplicably drawn to Jake Ryan, like regardless, I don't know what to do with that.
I mean, that was your indoctrination here in some ways, the teenage you to movies, right? Or just like a time period, like, because all of us of a certain age with that movie experienced it the same way. That's one of the unifying forces of the nostalgia in it.
Yeah, I mean, it is. And I'm sure that people who are listening now would be shocked at the levels of crush that I had on Jake Ryan, but he was my ideal man for a little while as a teenager. Yes, a white man. I'm not afraid to admit this.
Well, I want to talk to you about some of the stuff, like how tired do you get constantly having to fight some of this stuff? Because you've seen, Jamel, even by, you get slapped with woke as if it's an insult all the time, but you've also seen that now there's a new generation of young people that are even more, whatever it is that you describe as left-leaning or whatever else you end up getting hit with. How tired do you get?
Well, what is exhausting is seeing words that were supposed to have a particular meaning. Like woke used to be a word that black people used. Like that was our word, right? And now a lot of right-wingers, conservatives, a lot of racists too, have just stolen and hijacked this word. Cancel culture, that was another thing. That was our word. We made it cool, we made it hot. And now in every statement and every time they tweet something, they're putting those two terms together. And it just sets my teeth on fire because it's been co-opted and they're using it to hijack what should be a very serious conversation. I guess what I also get tired of and resent a little bit is people think just because you speak about social issues and you care about, racism, gender, all different kinds of issues that are very prevalent in our country, that you're not fun. That's what I hate. It's like people think I am a downer, and that sucks because I am not. Like, it's not like when, me and my friends, sure, we talk about racism. Of course we do. But we don't sit around and think of ways to be mad at the man. We talk about silly shit. Me and my friends and all my group chats, you know what we spent most of the time talking about the last 3 days? About whether or not Ron Isley is grandzaddy. That's what we've been talking about.
All right, well,
okay?
I want to talk to you about that, because anybody who's been listening to this show, I think, would remember for a long time that I think the first time you were ever on with us, didn't you end up telling us that you had also that you and your friends had all sorts of nicknames for former lovers.
Yes. Why do you have such a good memory, Dan?
But no, I remember what I was struck by then is like what happened since didn't even make sense to me on like, don't people see where we started with this? Like, she doesn't want to be dragged into every damn serious conversation. She'd rather be sitting around laughing.
Yeah, pretty much. And yeah, in fact, a few of those people came up. Because it was one my girl brought up that I had forgotten about. Because we have mattress king, glazed donut. We have it's pretty ridiculous. It was another one. God, she brought up that I had totally forgotten about. And by the way, mattress king, trust me, that's not what you think it is. That is not a compliment at all.
Because it sounds like the grandest of compliments.
No, that is not. Okay. Like, the backstory behind that is not a compliment.
Guillermo, put it on the poll.
Her dating somebody who sold mattresses, and she was too ashamed to tell us.
I want the scriptures for the others.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitar Show. If you were a man, would you like the nickname Mattress King?
Yes. I mean, men would kill for that.
I think so. But then when you put it like that, you tell her, or you didn't tell her that you knew and that you wanted to make fun of him being a mattress.
No,
salesman.
She didn't tell us until she was really feeling this dude, and he seemed, you know, they seemed like a match. We're like, okay, we're encouraging it, we're her girls, and things started to go south. And this is what women do sometimes, because we don't want to feel the shame you bring to us, is that we gloss up the details of who you are because we don't want to be judged by our friends, right? And so we're all professional ladies and who make a very decent income, and she didn't want to tell us that she was dating a dude that sold Certas. Like, she didn't want us to know. And so when things went left, and it wasn't just that he was mattress king, he was mattress king and he had a roommate, and we're like, we can't still be dating people with roommates. Like, unless you live in New York or San Francisco, I'll give you San Francisco because that's like the most expensive real estate, highest rent in the nation. Okay, it sort of makes sense. But if you're dating somebody who has a roommate in like South Carolina, no, we're not gonna give you that pass.
I didn't ask you at ESPN, but now that I'm freer, perhaps I should. I did not ask you to elaborate because I was scared on glazed donut.
Oh, Dan. Even on this format,
So it is what I thought, though. It's in the realm of what I thought. Okay, very good.
Even here?
Now you know why I was afraid to ask. I was going to ask you. It demanded follow-up. It did demand follow-up.
I wouldn't even feel comfortable telling Dan that story privately. If it was just me and him and a bottle of tequila, I wouldn't tell him that story.
Hey, listening audience, it's Mike Ryan, and you're a sports fan if you're listening to this show. Well, up for debate. You may not know this, but Game Time is now an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets even faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch, with killer last-minute deals, all-in prices, views from your seat, that's key, and their low price guarantee. Game Time takes a guesswork out of buying MLB tickets. I was actually in Baltimore last season, always wanted to check out that ballpark, and I actually went to the Game Time app to actually see exactly what I was dealing with, and on top of that, I got a killer deal. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Let me cover some of the subject matter with you that's more serious, because I've been wanting insight on some of this stuff. And hopefully at the end of this, we can do something fun with Jamel so that I don't
know. Are we about to talk about racism, Dan?
Well, I wanted to talk to you about Hank Aaron and Atlanta. And I wanted to talk to you about what just happened in Georgia. And I just... Go ahead, Stugatz.
So yes, Jamel.
So yes.
Okay.
Stugatz, thank you for looking up from your phone for just a second to check in on the conversation.
Kim is minus two, answers minus two. Let me tell you who's not going to be there Sunday, top of the leaderboard. Kim and answer, okay? None of them, okay? It's exciting, Dan. It's Masters Thursday. Jason Day, one under par. How about that?
I did not want to talk about the Masters.
I'm sorry about the racism.
The Masters is manicured. It's actually symbolic, Jesus, because they don't get asked anything. People are talking about the moving of the Masters now. I don't even know. How do you feel about just the tournament of the Masters? Romantic charm from an antiquated age when the black and white people were separated.
It's tough sometimes, especially... It was actually really awkward. A few reporters did ask some of the golfers at the Masters about how they felt about it. Phil Mickelson, I saw the comments that he made about how, and it was very benign. It was like, yes, everyone should have voting rights. And then that was it. And it was like, that's all you got? Or like, I don't know if anybody directly asked them the question how they felt about the tournament being held there and the backdrop of all these things going on. But we knew this when Major League Baseball made its decision. Even though Major League Baseball also a conservative feeling league, but we knew that the Masters, there was no way that in any way, in any meaningful way, they would ever respond to what is happening in Georgia. Like, we knew that. I mean, again, this is a golf course that didn't have a black member until God knows when, didn't have women members. Like, this is not the audience for that. But nevertheless, I think it is worth asking them about it, because one of the problems that we have generally with race in this country is that it's left for the black people to solve. It's left for people of color to solve the issue, to only be asked about it, to come up with solutions, even though they're the most victimized and burdened by it. And at some point, as we know, the only way this needle can ever move and move in a significant way is that white people have to start doing their fair share and contributing to ease this problem. It's funny, because I guarantee you, if there was some kind of NBA playoff game or some kind of NBA event, like if All-Star Weekend happens, it's coming up, you know, this weekend or in 2 weeks, unlike it normally being in February, or this year, I guess it was in March, they would be just pelting NBA players with questions about, why is this event here? Don't you feel a deeper responsibility? As if we're the only ones that have to feel a responsibility and white people don't. So just the way this is framed has always been problematic. So I'm glad at least the question is on the table at the Masters, because I didn't expect that it would be.
Were you surprised that baseball pulled out of Atlanta?
Now knowing some of the dynamics, no. Because what they didn't want was for some players, like Dave Roberts already said that he was strongly considering not going and not managing the National League. So you can't have some people that boycott it, some people that don't. Cleanest, easiest way to do it, pull it all together. That way nobody has to really individually be forced with a decision. And because then it hijacks your whole event. So let's say players pull out, managers pull out. Then while they're there in Atlanta, the question is constant. Well, why didn't you do it? Well, what do you feel about it? And you know, it would only be a matter of time before somebody says something that was stupid. And then you have another controversy on your hand. So I thought Rob Manfred did the right thing in pulling it, just from a containment of the narrative. I think he's fine with Major League Baseball as an organization to conservatives and Republicans, you know, looking, being the target of their attacks. I think this way it's just, I don't know that it'll be a significant issue when the All-Star game is held. Like, they may be asked about it a little bit, but it won't be nearly as dominant of a storyline as if people were pulling out and they didn't have any kind of uniform response.
What observations did you make about the conflicts within Atlanta? Atlanta can be pretty separatist, can be where its baseball is found. You will find stories of white flight, and the new stadium is not for everybody in Atlanta, mm-hmm. and it's hard to get to. And so what did you make of the Braves' response within that, being upset about this?
See, what's the most academic way to put the Braves' response? It was shitty. That's the best way I can put it. And even the other people, even for them to say in the statement and for other people to sort of co-sign this idea that they're pulling, by not having the All-Star game, that they're pulling all this money from Black businesses. And we know that there's a lot of Black businesses in the Atlanta area. But for them to say that with a straight face, knowing that the Braves play in Cobb County and why they play in Cobb County, is just, you know, really, I guess I shouldn't be surprised at this point by the hypocrisy, but they're conveniently, you know, sort of using the Black community as a shield when the real blame goes to the legislators who, and the governor, who have passed this election bill, who Governor Kemp has signed into law, all built on a lie. And that's the part that's aggravating, is that people keep saying, well, what's so wrong about having to show your ID to vote? It's not about the ID. It's not about that. There's a lot of very problematic things that are in this bill. But the number one most problematic thing about this bill is that it's based off a lie. And I don't know why people don't really understand that that matters more than anything. Because trust me, had Donald Trump won, had the Georgia Republicans maintained their two Senate seats, this bill is never introduced. We should tell people everything, that it is built purely to intimidate Black voters and to then show them once again that no matter how much your vote counts, we're going to always find a way so it doesn't really count, so that you don't really matter. It was about sending a message and a threatening one to them, and also about Governor Kemp knowing that more than likely Stacey Abrams is coming for his job in a year.
One of the things that landed on me wrong with the Braves statement, Jamel, was, wait a minute, you're the franchise of Hank Aaron. Hank Aaron just passed. Hank Aaron was going to be celebrated at this All-Star game in Atlanta. And Hank Aaron was worried as he ran around the bases with his historic home run that passed Babe Ruth. His mom was worried that he was going to be shot as he ran around the field because he's running through a particular part of the South with grace and strength, and now he's dead. And he's dead, and we're going to celebrate his life. But the Atlanta Braves, his franchise, comes out on the wrong side of this. He's dead. Hank Aaron is dead. Grace and class. Hank Aaron was the man that he was, publicly a hero and a legend, because he had the strength to battle everything else and white people at a time it was not easy. Again, his mother thought he was going to be assassinated as he ran around the bases because he had taken down Babe Ruth.
The other part about that, too, is, did they even think about how Hank Aaron would have received the statement that they made? This is a Hank Aaron who has been very vocal about where he stands politically and socially. He supported Colin Kaepernick. Do you think the person that supported Colin Kaepernick would be okay with this organization seemingly supporting anti-equity legislation when it comes to voting? I doubt it. And so that would have, that to me, it, I guess a part of me is almost slightly glad that Hank Aaron wasn't alive to see them do that and disrespect what he stood for, because they're more than happy to celebrate Hank Aaron and to use his strength and that grace that you talked about. And his race and his, to use him to bring people together in ways that benefit them. But when it comes to the tough stuff, when it comes to getting in the mud with some of these racial issues, well, the Braves just let you know exactly where they stand.
One more serious question before we get to the light stuff, because I saw, and you should check her out, incidentally, Jemele Hill is Unbothered. The podcast is on Spotify. She co-hosts a weekly TV show on Vice called Carrie and Jemele. Won't stick to sports. It's Thursday at 11:30 p.m. and she'll be around here, Meadowlark Media, as an advisor, helping us out and checking in with us. Jamel, how do people come at you aggressively here from both sides when it's a Black quarterback and a woman's issue and it's Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, I mean, it is, I think with the number of women, especially across the number of different regions, you know, the people that want to lob the conspiracy theory that the Texans were somehow behind this, but that claim just looks sillier and sillier. And I think what we see before us is that clearly this is somebody who, despite the glossiness of his image of being somebody who was faith-based, being considered to be a good guy, it's just a reminder. And this is not to, I'm not in a position to say whether or not Deshaun Watson is guilty or innocent, but I will say that these allegations are beyond disturbing. And it continues to drill home the point that we've all experienced in sports at some point. We don't know these guys that well. We don't. And your ability to score touchdowns, your ability to make magic happen on the field is not relatable to who you are as a person. Those are two different people that you're seeing. We don't know what they're like behind closed doors, what they're like in situations alone with women. We don't know any of that. And much like many of the cases, whenever there's an athlete at the center of it, there's far too much benefit of the doubt being extended, even though these lawsuits are piling up. And what's happening is people are judging the fact that there are lawsuits. People are, of course, already attacking these women. And it's going down the same familiar path that we go down. The reason why I said what I said about it, and partly why I haven't said as much about Deshaun Watson is, you know, especially working for The Atlantic, this is not a sports publication. And I've been thinking of a few columns, you know, probably for the last 2 weeks. But I wanted to get beyond saying this is awful, right? Okay, we all know that this is awful. And I don't mean awful for Deshaun Watson, by the way. This is awful for these women to have to go through this. So I'm trying to think of something more elevated to say about it. And I think it's okay that I have time to think, but don't tell that to certain people who run into my mentions disingenuously, by the way, and would say, oh, well, now that there's a black dude at the center of it, you don't have a whole lot to say. And it was the same person or same version of that person when Chad Wheeler happened. Now, Chad Wheeler was a little different because when that came to light, a dear friend of mine died of COVID, Sekou Smith, who I'm sure you guys heard being talked about. It happened the same week. So no, I wasn't in the mood to talk about Chad Wheeler. All right. And so I have a life beyond just commenting on these things that happen in the news. And of course, you saw, you know, it was tons of people in my mentions. Well, when it was Ray Rice, you had all this to say. When it's a, you know, but if a black man, if this was a black man, you have all that. So I get it from both sides. I get it from the black people. I get it from the white people, which frankly lets me know I'm doing my job. So that's, I guess that's the way that I look at it
that's,
as well.
But that's why I asked you about being tired though, because you get it from every side. And there is this idea that you live in a hermetically sealed box and just come out to give opinions on race stuff at every turn. And then it becomes these conversations about how Chad Wheeler is different than Deshaun Watson. But this is your burden, right? At this point, this is the burden of being Jamel is that people are going to come at you like piranha anytime there's an opening.
Yeah, and I've said the same things about both of those groups of people. The people coming into my mentions about Deshaun Watson didn't have anything to say about Chad Wheeler. And the people that came into my mentions about Chad Wheeler don't have anything to say about Deshaun Watson, which was always my central point, is that you don't care about the victims in either case. All you want to do is go around and hand out outrage tickets to people because you don't like the fact that I'm outspoken. So you try to play racial gotcha with me and I'm just not here for it. I'm not going to comment on something, no matter how loudly you bang this drum, if I don't feel like doing it or if I don't feel like I have something thoughtful and original to say. It's just that simple.
It's so much easier being me.
Isn't it? All right, let's have fun with Jamel. It is
the way to go, Jamel.
It is the way to go, Jamel. If you want to make an about face and want something easier, but tell us about, I do want to hear what you had to say about the Isley brothers, because everyone was sort of amazed that still smoke is coming out of your computer and these guys are in their late 70s.
No, it was in particular about Ron Isley coming with the full, you know, white beard. And he just sent all the ladies into a tizzy. And so I can't even repeat some of the inappropriate things that have been said about Ron Isley in two of my group chats. It is
I
do. Crazy.
I want all of them.
Yeah, so
I want a new segment, Jemel Hill. We just read Jemel Hill's group chat. I want the authentic, as much as you can give me. Let's go through it. Let's go through what was being said about Isley, because this was happening everywhere. Jemel, I was corrected because I said something. He'll drop your grandma's panties, and I was corrected. What are you talking about, grandma?
Everybody. It ain't grandma. No,
really?
You need to keep coming down into the age. It's like aunties, cousins. I'm just saying, mama, like nobody's safe. All right, nobody's safe there. Well, we nicknamed him in my one group chat. We nicknamed him Grandzaddy, you know, because he's, so I don't know, Dan, are you familiar with the term Zaddy?
Yes.
Okay, right? You are familiar, all right? So Zaddy is, you know, it's sort of a nickname that I think we all got from Insecure. That was the first place I heard it, is on the show Insecure.
Wait, I'd like for Dan to explain Zaddy.
I'm going to go ahead and say an old guy who's a hottie, like a daddy who's a hottie.
Oh, yeah. No. Now, you realize that the term daddy, that some women use this as a term of endearment, right? And you don't have to be old to call somebody a daddy, right? You'd be like, hey, daddy, like it's a term of endearment, Dan. That is across all age groups. It's just about your relationship to that person. A zaddy, you putting even more weight on it because there's levels, right? So daddy is like you hot. Zaddy is like you fine and you could drive my car. Like that level of fine. Like you could drive my car, drop me off at work and pick me up. Like, because you a zaddy.
I got to be honest, I thought Dan nailed it.
I'm getting buried in the chat, and something has been revealed to the entire audience.
White guys! White!
Yeah, so Jemel, I'm terribly embarrassed. All right.
You shouldn't be. It happens to the best of us.
Well, it's happening more and more around here lately.
It was to the worst of us, too.
Jemel, did you finish your point? I'm now disoriented. Did you finish? Did you say everything that needed to be said about our beloved Zaddy?
Okay. Well, Ron Isley is a grand Zaddy, though, because we do have to acknowledge his age.
$2.
And his zaddiness at the same time. So that's why in my group chat, he is referred to as Grandzaddy Isley.
I want some of the ones that can't be repeated. I want to get.
Well, I mean, it was a lot of he could get it right now. It was a lot of that, I don't know if you know
get
this.
What, Jemel?
Right? Scott, just stay out of this.
Get what?
Yeah,
he can get it. Okay.
What are we getting?
Explain.
Jemel, thank you for being on with us. We appreciate it.
Sundays to God.
But you know what? I guarantee you, to your wife, Dan, you are Zaddy. Okay?
Okay.
He's a grandzaddy.
I'm a grand.
Very much so.
Evidence by the segment.
He's not grandzaddy yet. He's close.
I'm pretty close. Jemel, thank you. Always good talking to you. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.